Guitar people, welcome to Have Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with guitarist Mark Lettieri and sitarist Purbhayan Chatterjee. In our conversation, the two tell us where they are now, Mark in Fort Worth, Texas, and Purbhayan in Bombay, which is Mumbai, India, and they discuss how they met at Mark's Snarky Puppy concert, which is one of his regular gigs, and that was in Mumbai. Purbhayan discusses how the project Feathered Creatures turned from a solo album with a few guitar parts to a full-out collaboration between the two, and they take us to the instrumentation on the album, apart from Mark's guitar and Purbhayan's sitar work. The two take us through the gear they used on the album, Purbhayan's sitar and his electric sitar, and Mark's PRS guitars, and Purbhayan explains the tuning of the sitar. The two talk about upcoming shows both in the US and India, and tour plans for 2027, and they also tell us about their individual tour schedules for the rest of the year. Mark describes how he ended up in Fort Worth, and Purbhayan tells us about his family lineage of sitar players. To find out more about Mark, you can go to his website, marklettieri.com, which is marklettieri.com. And for more information about Purbhayan, you can go to his website, which is purbhayan.com. And that's spelled purbhayan.com. And they're both active on the socials. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine in all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Oh, and hey, if you want to support the show, I have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/haveguitarwilltravelpodcast. Here's my friends Mark and Purbhayan.
Hey there, Mark.
Hey, James. How are you, man?
I'm good.
Awesome.
Hello.
Hey there, Purbhayan.
Hey, hi, man. How are you doing? Good. It's nice to meet you, James. Likewise. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
What's up, dude?
It's 12:30 at night. That's what's up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because it's Bombay time. Yeah. But that's okay. I'm very happy to do this.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to meet both of you. So, Purbhayan, you're in Bombay right now?
I'm in Bombay right now, yes. That's where I live, and, you know, yeah, that's where I am.
And, Mark, where are you?
I'm in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, really? Is that where you're based? It must be with all those guitars.
Yeah, this is my hotel room.
You only take 40 guitars with you on the road.
That's right. Yeah, every time I go, you're in the Motel 6.
And so, how did the two of you guys meet?
How did we meet? I was on tour in India with Snarky Puppy.
Oh, really?
Okay. And Purbhayan, who was friends with Michael League, our bass player, came and sat in on a couple songs, and that's how we met. But Purbhayan, you had met Michael prior, right?
Yes, I had met Michael when he agreed to play on another record of mine called Unbounded.
Okay.
And that's a record which had many other people like Antonio Sanchez, like Bela Fleck and all of that. But Michael came in as the bass player for the entire record, and that's how we became friends. And as Mark said, you know, I had the opportunity of sitting in for a couple of songs with Snarky Puppy when they were performing in Mumbai. Uh-huh. And interestingly, you know, the story goes that I met Mark, of course, on stage. We sound checked, and then I met him in the Vanity, and there's a very interesting video of the two of us, where Mark is asking me to demonstrate some bends on my sitar. And,
sure.
Yeah, it was one of those, meetings.
Yeah. And how does the album come about? Like, how do you guys decide that you're going to collaborate and come up with a record?
I'll let you take this one.
Yeah. So I, for the last 3 years, I have been writing the songs for this record, and I think when I started out, I wanted to go the electronica way because I'm very fascinated by sounds. I'm very fascinated by the various layers of music production that is possible in modern day and time. And at a certain point, interestingly, actually, I took the record to Michael, and I had asked him to, give me some feedback and suggestions, maybe about production, or maybe even lay down some bass on some of the songs. And it was Michael who told me, he said that, man, I think you might want some guitar on some of these. And then I contacted Mark. He was the first person I thought of. I contacted Mark, and I asked him to kind of play on some of the songs, you know, as a session player. And that's how it all started. And from there, I think I'll let Mark take it over from there. And he can tell you the rest of the story.
Yeah, so I just started layering guitar parts on these things, just as I would any other session. But then Purbayan, you know, was still, I didn't know this when he first asked me, but I guess he was still kind of working out some of the arrangements and some of the forms and some of the songs. So he said, you know, hey, this one that you already played on, it needs like a bridge or a second section, or, you know, maybe while you're recording, I'll send you the Logic session. You can actually rearrange the parts if you want. And so a lot of what I did was, you know, take certain sections and cut them up and repeat them, or, you know, flip them inside out. And then, yeah, I started writing sections here and there. And then we gave those sessions to our co-producer, Nakul Chug, who then kind of dressed everything up and kind of finalized it and did a lot of the extra programming and of course keyboard playing and stuff like that. So it was a lot of files getting transferred back and forth. We were never in the same room together, obviously. Okay.
And yeah. Did you lay out the drums first? Like, how did you, because there's like multi, you know, there's a
lot
of,
I mean, it was kind of some of it was done and then some of it was redone, you know? So like, what I was given had some drum programming on it, but then for the section that I wrote, I programmed my own drums and then Nakul then replaced it with, Nakul would then replace it with his sound. So it all sounded uniform.
Yeah. And so besides, are the drums all electronic drums?
As far as I know, I think the only acoustic is the tabla.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And so besides the sitar, the guitar, the piano, keyboards, obviously, and then the drums and the tabla, what's the other instrumentation that's on it?
I play bass.
Okay.
I ended up being the bass player. Or the stuff that has four-string bass on it was me. But then, I guess, it's acoustic guitar, electric guitar, baritone electric guitar, electric bass guitar. And then, Nakul and Purbayan did the synth bass and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And I played a couple of sitars. So I played my acoustic sitar, but I also played my electric sitar for some textures and things. Sure. And then on a couple of songs, I mean, there's Sarod Sevens where we have this instrument called the Sarod, which is another string plucked instrument, you know, which kind of traces its origins to the northwestern part of of India, and and that's it. I mean, that's really it. So in terms of Indian instrumentation, electric, acoustic, sitar, sarod, and Mark, you know, a bunch of guitars, and then it's really Nakul and tabla.
Yeah. Yeah. And the electric sitar, is it a Dan Electro or is it something other than that?
So the one I played on this is actually something I call the sitar. It's a plexiglass sitar.
Okay.
And it has a very I put a lipstick humbucker on it, so it has it's got two neck pickup and one bridge pickup. So the lipstick picks up like the highs, but I think what makes the sound unique is, although you eventually you're going through a processor or you're processing the sound on Logic or a DAW, but what makes the sound unique and very different from, say, a guitar is that, you know, you get all the bends, you get the playing technique from the neck of a sitar, so you get all the bends and inflections that a sitar offers.
Sure. Yeah. And
So James, that's funny that you bring that up, because there is no Steely Dan sitar on. It's all like real sitars. Okay. Just with Purbayan, you should send him a picture. It's like a full scale sitar but with a humbucker like mounted by the sound holds. Yeah. Okay. It's pretty cool.
I'll definitely send you a picture, James. And interestingly, you know, while we're on that, Mark, the interesting thing is, in the last week, I've gotten at least three or four of my friends asking me, when is PRS going to make a sitar?
You know, knowing Paul, if you put him up to the challenge, he probably would do something like that.
Yeah. And just for my own information, how is the sitar tuned?
It's complex. So
I know there's raw and all those the ma Ra, something like
that. Yeah, the Ma. There you go, Ma. So Saregama. So we have Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Si Do, and in a classic situation, you have the main playing string, which does 90% of the heavy lifting, tuned to G.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so that would be the G3.
Okay.
And then you have, sorry, G2. That's not G3, it's G2. And then you have the second string, which is a copper string, and that's tuned to D2.
Okay.
And then you have the drone strings, which are called the chikaris. Uh-huh. The first one is tuned to A2, then there's D2, and then there's D3, okay, like a higher octave. Kind of a, so when you, the chikaris are interesting because the chikaris are more rhythmic. So if you play a rhythm guitar and if you're trying to, you know, the downbeat, the strum of the downbeat is what, you know, when we hit the chikari.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. But so the 90% of the and all the bends and stuff are on that G string?
All the bends are on the G string, yes.
Okay. All right. And it's five strings?
It's seven. That's why it's called a sitar. It's got seven seven playing strings, but you have 13 sympathetics under.
Yeah,
which you don't. You're not really. They're vibrating in resonance. So it almost like, you know, if you play a note, you sometimes have the thirds and the fifths vibrating. So people often ask me, "Can you play chords on this?"
Yeah.
And the simple answer is no, because you know you're not playing two or three notes. Although sometimes you can play two notes. So on that copper string, you can hold down two notes.
Okay.
And you can get a kind of a effect of a two-note chord. But because of the sympathetic strings and because of the resonance, you often have the thirds and the fifths vibrating. Sometimes even like, you know, like a major seventh or something. You have like a, yeah.
Yeah. Are the sympathetic strings tuned to a chord?
The sympathetic strings are tuned usually to what is called a raga, which is like a mode. Like, you know, if you have the Lydian mode,
yeah,
or if you have the Phrygian mode or what. So you tune it to that.
What yeah, mode, though?
Well, it depends on which raga, the song. You know, the music is all raga-based. Yeah, so yeah. So if you were playing a song which is predominantly based in a certain raga, like let's say Bhairavi, which is very akin to the Phrygian mode, or Yaman, which is akin to the Lydian mode, so you would tune the sympathetics or the tarafs according to that raga.
Okay. And in the raga, yeah, is the modes of the raga, is it seven-note scales, or is it more than that?
So they are usually, no, they can be more than that. So it's because the scale essentially is chromatic, but okay, some of the ragas, the interesting thing about the raga is you leave out one note on the ascending. Like you could have, let's say, da 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 da, instead of da 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 da, and then you have the sharp seventh on the ascending, but da 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 da, flat seventh on the descending.
Okay, very good.
And how you phrase, you know, is what distinguishes one raga from the other.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been nice talking to you guys. Mark, nice to meet you.
All right, man. Yeah.
Thank you, James. Thank you for that. No, thank you, Mark.
Stuff.
I'm only kidding. So, Mark, are you're playing, obviously, your PRS mm-hmm, in Dorsey. Are you playing all PRS guitars?
I think I used all PRS on this record. I think you mentioned Dan Electro. I think the baritone I played on one song was a Dan Electro.
Okay.
And then I used my Martin acoustic, which is a M36. The M36 Martin. And yeah, I used the Fiores for all the electric guitars. And then, the bass, I think, was a Exotic Guitars. It's a P bass that they make.
Okay. That's like X... T.
Yeah, XOC. I can't. They spell it funny, but yes, they make the pedals, you know. But yeah, they also make guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a cool P bass that I play. But I think that was pretty much it. And I didn't use any pedals. It's all plugins.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So
DI.
Are they all virtual? You know, virtual amps.
Yeah, I think I use Neural DSP for everything. Actually.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look at the sessions, but I think I use their plugins for everything, yeah.
Yeah. And how about you, Parvayan? Just going to ask you if you used any amps with your electric sitar.
No, not really. So for this project, I went straight into the DAW, and it was all plugins. That Nakul So I know that we use a lot of like the reverbs and delays are from, you know, we use things like FabFilter. And I tried to keep this record as acoustic as possible while recording for this, keep, you know, in cognizance of the fact that Mark was going to play, you know, a bunch of electric guitars. Yeah. There would be, and the album is electronica. So I wanted to make the Indian sound very Indian sounding, but there were songs like 9,000 Miles, which is the next single that's coming out,
okay,
where there was a little section, you know, like, kind of a second bridge, if you want to call it that, where I had to play some fillers and textured, kind of very highly nuanced and textured kind of elements coming way in the background. And I felt that the electric would kind of give it a different textural. So, but you know, the short answer is no amps, no processors, straight into the DAW, and then just a very little bit of processing.
Yeah.
That's probably the antithesis of what Vintage Guitar magazine readers want to hear.
You know what?
You know what? No, I used my 59 Les Paul into a Klon into a 1962 Fender Deluxe. That's what I used.
Did you have all that?
Interestingly enough, when we put out the reel, because we did a residency in Montgomery recently, and I saw a couple of reels that we put out, both Mark put out and I put out, and I think it's mainly because of Mark's affiliation to them, I see that Neural DSP is liking a lot of my posts.
Well, they're good buddies, yeah. But when we do play, we've done these songs live 2.5 times, and I used 2 Fender Deluxe amps, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so the live show has a pedal board and amps and, you know, live drums and all that. So,
Are you guys going to do any touring behind the record?
Yeah, probably won't be till next year.
Okay.
Just because at this point, we're all booked with other things, and you know, but we're kind of slowly putting the live band together. And as Per Bion was saying, we did this residency at a college in DC where they basically let us use the theater for 2.5 days to just kind of rehearse and work out the material. And so it was really nice. It was the two of us and a drummer friend of ours, named Varun Das from New York City, and so the three of us played, and then we just played to the laptop tracks, just kind of trying to figure out like
how's it gonna work.
Do we want it do we want it to be totally live with, you know, extra keyboards and a bass player and all that, or do we want it to live in the sort of EDM space where everyone's used to hearing tracks and the programming and things? So probably what we're probably gonna end up doing is having 2 shows where it's like the live band that's like 7 pieces or something, and then the smaller band where it's the tracks, and you know, maybe we kind of book it towards different venues and different audiences, just depending on what we want to have
and what is, you know, makes more financial sense,
or that too. There's also that. Yeah.
Well, you know, from my point of view, very interestingly, and to my delight, Mark has agreed to come to India already once, and we've played
that's the a other little show.
That's the other two, and we're doing one more in August.
That's
the one that's coming up. And from my point of view, I think this year we're going at it in fits and starts, you know, trying to figure out what best represents this live, and then next year we intend to kind of take it on the road.
Sure. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And Provian, what's your tour schedule like? Like, just without, apart from this project with Mark, what's your tour schedule like?
Well, I mean, last week I was in the United States, and apart from doing this residency with Mark, I was also doing some other concerts with Rakesh Chaurasia, who is, a Grammy-winning flute player from India.
Okay.
And comes from a great lineage of flute players. So I play with him. There's another ensemble called Sat Sat. So we are doing right now, next month in May and June, we are doing a 6-city tour. Me and Rakesh are doing a 6-city tour within India.
Okay.
There's a lot of Europe. In February, I was playing at the Barbican Hall in London. Usually winters are in India. There's a whole concert season in India, which because winters, the weather is a little better here.
Yeah.
And it's, and summers kind of, summers are random. I could be doing some summer festivals in the UK. Typically I would be doing a fall tour and a spring tour.
Okay. All right.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
And what's it like touring in India? Like I mean, that seems like the lower class to the higher class people with a, with, you know, that's probably not politically correct to say it, but it seems like there'd be a lot of challenges perhaps to playing, to touring.
So, you know, there are two ways in which you can look at it. I think I would like to look at the first way first. India is a very fastly developing, you know, economically speaking, socially speaking, it's a melting pot. We are, you know, we have some of the finest auditoriums in the world. We have, you know, especially in the metropolitan cities, we have some wonderful venues. So there is a great deal of interest in new music, in you know, projects like this. Bollywood has been the mainstream, you know, the film music, which is from Bollywood. You know, artists like A.R. Rahman and Shankar Ehsaan Loy, they rule the roost. But off late, there is a great deal of interest in independent singers, songwriters. All kinds of experiments are happening. On the other side, since I play traditional music, because I play classical Indian music, which is the traditional music of India, often I find myself going to the remotest parts of the country. And I think there's a big difference between what I used to face 15 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago, and now. Uh-huh. Now, if I go to even the most, like the remotest corners of the country, I can really put down a very intricate tech writer and they will actually oblige. They'll bring most equipment. Yeah, so I think the challenges are much less, but obviously we are still developing. So, yeah. You know, there are still people who are learning more and more stuff in terms of sound tech, in terms of production, and there's some catching up to do, but I think we'll get there soon.
Okay, good. And do you ever set up at like the local beer joint and just play for, you know, whoever's there?
You know, I have to tell you, I played at this club in New York called The Bitter End. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Sure, of course, yes.
It's a great, great club, and I played there, and I find the club gigs to be a lot of fun. There are a few of those in India. There was one called The Quarter in Mumbai. There was one called The Blue Frog, you know, inspired by the Blue Note.
Sure.
And I would say once or twice a year when one of my buddies says, hey, are you going to sit in a song? It's going to be really fun. And I just do it for the fun of it.
Yeah, very good.
But that's, you know, traditional Indian music is not really performed at the clubs.
Yeah. Or the beer joints. So.
Yeah.
Very good. And Mark, how active is Snarky Puppy?
They're active. They just finished a tour, actually.
Okay.
But we have the band's pretty large, so we kind of rotate guitar players in and out. So I was off.
Okay.
I'll be joining them for a handful of things in the summer, and then a kind of like a West Coast tour in the fall, which is about 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And we have a music camp that we're doing as well in August.
Oh, wow.
Which will be fun. And
then,
I'm not sure what 2027 is looking like for the band. I'm slowly getting emails from the management about stuff. So, but yeah, the rest of my next six months are mostly the Mark Lethierry Group stuff, playing my solo material.
Okay.
Perbayan and I are going to India.
Yeah.
And then I have some stuff with the Fearless Flyers and Corey Wong coming up. So
okay.
Kind of business as usual for what I normally do. Yeah.
And did you grow up? Where did you grow up?
I'm from California.
Okay. What part of California?
San Francisco. Yeah. Okay. Bay Area, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right where I am right now.
Oh, really? Where are you at?
I'm in Napa.
In Napa. Oh, cool, man.
Yeah.
We played the Blue Note in Napa last spring. It was really fun.
Yep.
Yeah, Napa's a good town. Yeah, I grew up in Menlo Park.
Okay, cool.
You know, right in the middle of Silicon Valley.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I can tell you that it's probably much cooler where both of you are than what it's now.
Sure.
It's probably 65 here right now.
Let me check my phone. It's right now. Well, today's high was 90.
Okay.
But the humidity is also like 95%.
Well, hold on, man. Wait a sec, because Texas. Wait a sec. I'm not in California. It's 85 in Fort Worth. So
okay, so you're close.
I'm right behind
you. Yeah, right behind
humidity
you.
In Fort Worth right now.
Probably not 90. Probably like 60. It's still humid.
Yeah.
Still humid. Yeah.
And Mark, did you go to Berkeley or where did you go to school?
Oh no, I went to Texas Christian University, TCU.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's actually what brought me to Fort Worth. I was kind of matriculating through their journalism department, but I was also on the track team.
Okay.
So yeah, but then I sort of did a bit of a 180, I guess, and decided I wanted to be a professional guitar player when I graduated. So I ended up just staying here and making my roots in music here.
Yeah. Do you play a lot of country stuff, like country swing?
No. I mean, I had a spell very early on, but really I kind of cut my teeth here in the R&B and gospel and soul scene. Okay. Between, you know, there's a very rich history of that music via Kirk Franklin and Erykah Badu and Roy Hargrove and yeah, people like that. So that was kind of my school, sure, for really learning. But, yeah, not the country. I was in a country band for about a year. Uh-huh. And it was cool. You know, it was fun. And I did it. I was young. And, you know, we played, you know, bars and honky tonks and things. And I was like, okay, that was cool. On to the next thing, yeah, you know.
Green Hall.
Yeah. We did not do Green Hall, actually. But we did some other really cool ones. But, yeah.
Very good. Very good. As far as, you know, I mean, we mentioned the PRS thing. Are you using other guitars besides PRSs?
Oh yeah, sometimes. I mean, I mean, there's plenty here that I would use for sure. Oh sure, yeah, sorry, but yeah, I mean, there's a couple of the guitars that I've had for years that I still play and record with, or sometimes I'll take them out and tour. But it's funny, a lot of the ones that I've had for a really long time, I'm almost like I don't want to bring them out as much anymore because it's like, oh, something happened to it.
Yeah, I understand that.
I mean, so.
And you have a collection of pedals.
I do have a pedal rack. There's a, yeah, you know, I just went to Lowe's and bought one of those tool shelf,
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
And
it's very, very, you know, wise.
Yeah. There's way more than I need, clearly, yeah, but that's what happens.
Are you playing through Neural Products when you play live?
Not when I play live. It's really just a studio tool. And, really just for my home studio. I don't like bring a laptop to people's sessions or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live, it's generally, hopefully, two very loud, clean tube amps that I run in stereo.
And, very good.
Yeah.
Is it mostly backline, or is it stuff that you're bringing with you?
Generally backline, just because that's kind of the way of the world these days in terms, sure, of logistics. I mean, every now and then I have the opportunity to bring my own rig, and so I'll grab something from the amps are on this wall. So I'll grab something from there, put it in a road case, and yeah, put it in the bus or the trailer or ship it or something. But most of the time it's... it's backline, yeah. I've played through all kinds of things at this point.
Sure, I'll bet. I'll bet. Herbian, like, was your father a sitar player? How did you come across the sitar?
So, yes, my father is a sitar player. Okay. And I you know, that's who I started, you know, training with. Even my grandfather was a sitar player, but he was not a professional. He would do it in his, you know, spare time and so on. And but I started learning from my father, and then he took me to learn some vocal music from a, you know, one of the great vocal artists here called Ajoy Chakravarti. And eventually I went to one of the all-time greats who was based in the Bay Area, as a matter of fact, Ustad Ali Akbar Khan. Yeah, he had a school in San Rafael. So oh, yeah. I spent quite a bit of time in the Bay Area, hanging out in San Rafael, and that's where my other mentor, Ustad Zakir Hussain, used to live, you know, down the road in San Anselmo. So a lot of hanging out in California.
Yeah. And is that school still operating?
That school is still operating, and Khansab's son Alam takes care of the school, and you know, yeah, it's still very much there.
Very good. So the album comes out June 6th, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, very good. You guys talk about going to India. Are you going to tour the U.S. as well?
Probably so. Yeah, I mean, we have, I think our first date on the books is in May of 27, and it's in Southern California. So,
Yeah,
I mean, probably, we'll see. I don't know if it's going to be like we're out for weeks, or if it's like, you know, a week here or spot dates exactly here or there. So yeah, man. Who knows? But yeah, it's a cool, people yeah, I think will really like to see the show, but I'm anxious to see what everybody thinks about the record first. Cause I know for both of us, a lot of our fans of our normal music are going to be like, whoa,
sure,
which is good. I'm into that.
Yeah. It's definitely, yeah, I mean, the initial feedback from the first single is very encouraging. I must say. And I think we have, as Mark correctly said, we have a few dates in May, and they're right now, I think they're mostly in California. But, you know, but I think our booking agent is kind of working on it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on, right on. Well, yeah. I look forward to seeing it. I love the album. The album is freaking fantastic.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
thank you very much.
I think I've listened to it over and over now for the past week.
Cool.
And, that's great to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, and my wife also likes it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's nice meeting both of you guys, and I look forward. I hope you guys come up here to the San Francisco area, and so I can meet both of you in person.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
Right on.
Thanks, pretty man. Soon. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You have a good day.
You too.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye, Mark. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar, Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys. We'll